I'd like to welcome you today to Trinity Church's online service. I'm so glad that you're able to join with us. If you happen to have a Bible with you there at home, why don't you go ahead and open it up to the book of Luke, and today we're going to be in chapter 1. Well, it's hard to believe, but as of Sunday, we are less than 4 weeks away from Christmas. You know, for many of us, this is the most exciting time of the year. This is the time that we look forward to. I mean, we love Christmas. We get to decorate our homes. We plan trips and vacations around this time of the year. We host parties. We get to wear our ugliest sweater and then celebrate them together, right? We love Christmas. For me, my favorite part of Christmas is Christmas music. And I'm not talking about, you know, Frosty the talking snowball or the kid catching his mom kissing Santa Claus. I'm talking about the music that we sing in the church. Songs like Hark the Herald Angels Sing or Oh Holy Night. I mean, for me, those songs really kind of set the tone of what Christmas is all about. You know, as I was thinking about that, it struck me just how powerful music is. I mean, really, music creates moods and even desires within us. I mean, this is why retailers and restaurants play certain types of music, or even if you watch a movie, there's always that background soundtrack, because music does something inside of us. It sets a mood, it sets a tone, it can even create desires within us. You know, with that in mind, over the course of the next 4 weeks for our Christmas series, we're going to be looking at some songs in the Bible that surround the birth of Jesus. And we're going to kick it off today with a song sung by a young girl by the name of Mary. And we find her song in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Now, when we tend to think about Mary, we usually do so through about 2,000 years of church history. And over those years, Mary has been highly revered. Now, I completely understand why. I mean, she's the mother of Jesus. Of course, we would have admiration towards her. But at the same time, we also have to be careful, because we can revere her so much that we miss the details of her life that make this song so powerful. Now, if you're not familiar with Mary's backstory, let me fill you in with just a few key pieces. First and foremost, we know this, that at the time of this song, Mary's probably about the age of 13, maybe 14. She's from the small, economically depressed town of Nazareth, and she's engaged to a man by the name of Joseph, who lives in Bethlehem, which was about 4 to 5 days' walk. Now, as was custom in that day, Mary's family would have likely received a monetary gift from Joseph's family when they agreed to give their daughter in marriage. Knowing what we do of Nazareth, her family probably needed this money. So Mary's engagement would have been viewed really as a blessing. In Mary's parents' eyes, especially for her father, this is one less mouth to feed, one less person to clothe, and it's resources to help the family in this time. So think about this. In the middle of this blessing, when their family is feeling blessed that Mary is going to be married, the news comes. Mary has to share this news that she's pregnant and that the baby, it isn't Joseph's. Now, we know from the story, as we read, as the audience, that Mary's pregnancy was supernatural. But think about how the people would have responded in the moment. I mean, how many people are going to believe that Mary hasn't been unfaithful? We know from the text that Joseph doesn't believe that, and that he decides to call off the wedding. Then, well, that is before God speaks to him, and then the angel of the Lord tells him it's okay to marry her and explains what's going on. But had he called off the wedding, had he said, "You've been unfaithful, I'm done," it would have had a drastic effect on Mary and her family and Jesus. First and foremost, Mary's family would have been forced to pay back the money, the gift that they had received, money that they may have already spent. Second, being found pregnant out of wedlock in the first century, it was scandalous, and it would have brought dishonor upon Mary's family. It most likely would have led to certain labels being attached to Mary and possibly to Jesus as well. And technically, according to Jewish religious law, Mary could be killed if she was found for being unfaithful. And on top of all of that, at bare minimum, with no husband and a child out of wedlock, Mary would have been looking really at a lifetime of hardship. I mean, really, Mary was putting everything on the line to serve God. When the angel said, "You are going to have this baby," and Mary said, "Yes," she was putting everything on the line. And you see, that's really what makes the song so powerful. Think about how Mary opens the song by exalting God and saying that God has done great things for her. You know, I'll be honest, I don't know that that's the song that I would be singing in this moment. Which makes me wonder, how is it that Mary was able to sing this song? Why was she willing to say yes? Well, I like what the Life Application Bible Commentary on the book of Luke states about Mary's song. Let me read it for you. It reads, "Mary's song shows that what is seen is not all that it seems." You see, Mary believed that God was bigger than her circumstances. That's really what she's singing all about. She's singing that while things may look one way, there's more to the story. And for her, she was able to trust that God would prevail over the obstacles that she was facing. And I think really that's the message of this song. We can trust God because God is bigger than our circumstances. Mary actually goes through her song and she shows three reasons why we can trust the Lord. And there are three reasons that I want to share with you this morning. The first one is this, that God is able. Mary sings in verse 49, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." Now, let me clarify what I mean when I say God is able. As we just read part of Mary's song, she says, "The Mighty One." If you were to look up that word mighty in a Greek lexicon, what you would find is that throughout the New Testament, it's translated as strong, powerful, here mighty, and then able. So really, I mean, what Mary is saying is that God can do what no one else can do. The way I like to think about it is this, is that God can make the impossible possible. You know, I think one of the reasons why we tend to shy away from the things that God is calling us to is because the task seems impossible. We look at the challenges and we go, "It'll never work," or "I could never do that." So we don't move in the direction that God is calling us in. And here's the truth. I mean, it is true. The challenge may be impossible and we may never be able to succeed on our own. But Mary's song, what we just read, it reminds us that it's not about us achieving success on our own. It's about God working through us. I mean, we see this all throughout Scripture of God calling people to impossible tasks and them responding with, I can't do that. And yet God, his response is, but I can. I mean, that's why the Bible is full of supernatural events such as divine healings and supernatural provision and protection and deliverance and the calming of troubled hearts and the restoring of broken relationships and transforming of persons. And when the Bible closes in the book of Revelation, we're left with empty tombs, right? All these supernatural things take place, not because of us, but because God is able. Mary believed this. Mary believed that God was able to do what she couldn't. He was able to make the impossible possible. And because of that, she was willing to trust him. Which leads us to our second point, and that is God is merciful. Mary sings in verse 50 that God's mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Now, the word that we translate mercy here in this text can also be translated as compassion. I mean, what Mary is saying is that God has compassion for his children, meaning this, that God sees the hardships we go through and he intervenes. Scholar Joel Green writes in his commentary on Luke, quote, this song outlines a selection of forms that opposition has taken, oppression of people, pride, claims of power, wealth, and it is against such opposing forces that God has, in Mary's image, come to do war. But he has done so not out of obligation, but out of his mercy. You know, the entire Christmas season is really, it's centered on God entering creation to make things right. Jesus came to redeem us from our sin and from the consequences of our sin, mainly death. And then he promises this, that one day he will heal all of creation. Think about that. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. Mary's song proclaims God's mercy because she's trusting that God will see her through the circumstances, the obstacles that she is facing. Her song, really, it's a reminder to us that God will never leave us on our own. That God will never turn a blind eye to us, but he will walk with us. That he will fight for us. That he redeems us. And that ultimately, he will not only heal us, but all of creation. Mary understands this, she knows this, and it gives her strength to step into really what's unknown or what can be scary, right? Facing those questions, what will Joseph think? What will my parents think? What will people say about me? How will I feed this child? She doesn't know what's going to happen, but she trusts that God will be with her because God is merciful. Which leads us to our final point that Mary makes, and that is that God is gracious. Mary proclaims God's grace when she sings in verse 53 that God has filled the hungry with good things. Now, in the Greek, that word that we translate filled, it literally means to satisfy. I mean, what Mary is singing here is that God will provide what we need. If you've ever felt overwhelmed, if you've ever been concerned about not having enough, if you've ever worried about failing to accomplish what God has called to you, then really Mary's song should be an encouragement. Because what Mary is singing is that God will provide everything that we need. God will provide everything that we need to fulfill the call that he has put on our life. Not because God doesn't do this because he owes us or that we've somehow earned it, but rather because he's gracious. Our God is gracious. He is generous. God graciously provides everything that you and I need. Mary, she understood this. And that meant for her that God would give Joseph the peace to go through with the wedding, that God would keep Mary's reputation and therefore Jesus's reputation from becoming tarnished, that God would protect Mary's family from being disgraced by her being pregnant. She believed that God would provide. And what's beautiful too is not only did he provide then, but when we see the birth of Jesus, God continues to provide and protects Joseph and Mary and protect baby Jesus when they even have to at one point flee because the king wants to kill Jesus. God provides what they need. And Mary sings this. Mary sings about this because she knows that God will care for her because God is gracious. Now, as we think about all that, we ask this question of, okay, so what does this mean for us today? And I think if we could boil it down to as simple as it could be, it is this. We can trust God. Let me say that again, because if you only hear one thing, let it be this. Let this be the peace that you take with you. We can trust God. You see, Mary was able to embrace God's call, that from a human perspective, it put her entire life in jeopardy. And she did this not because she had some sort of superhuman faith or that she was immune to sin. That's not true. And we have to be careful that we don't superhumanize Mary because we elevate her into something that she wasn't, right? What made Mary's song so powerful is that she was a human being just like you and me. She had fears and she had doubts and she had concerns, but she could trust God. She could trust God because she knew this, that God was bigger than her circumstances. As we hear her song, really, it's a reminder to us that God is bigger than our circumstances. God is bigger than any challenges that you or I may be facing today. Things may look grim. It may look like stepping out and doing the things that God is calling us to. It may look like it's putting everything at risk. But Mary's song reminds us, God is bigger than our circumstances. God is bigger than the challenges or the obstacles that we are facing today. And God is able to make the impossible a reality for us. Mary's song, really, it's an encouragement to step out in faith and embrace the call that God has put on our lives. And I understand that that may be scary. And again, it may seem like we're putting everything at risk. But I want you to know this. You can trust God. I just want to say that again. You can trust God. If he has called you, if God has called you, he will be faithful because he is able. He is gracious. He is merciful. And he will provide everything that you and I need to live out the life that he has created us for. All we need to do at this point is, like Mary, say yes. So, as we close today, my prayer for you is this, is that you will trust God. That you will see his power and his mercy and his grace manifest in your life, and that you, by his empowerment, will be able to accomplish the impossible. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your grace. Father, thank you for the story of Mary and for her song. Thank you, God, for the encouragement that it is that we can trust you. That, Lord, that when we're facing challenges and hardships, or when you're calling us, Lord, to join you in your mission of bringing redemption to this world, that, God, that we don't have to face those challenges or that call alone, but that you are with us, Lord, that we can trust you, and that ultimately, God, you will provide everything that we need to fulfill the life that you've created us for. Father, I ask that you would help us to live into faith, God, that you would increase our faith, and Lord, that you would help us to be mindful. Lord, when those challenges seem overwhelming, help us to be mindful, God, that you are bigger than those challenges. And Lord, help us to always remember that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom, strengthen us, help us to be mindful of the things that will advance the kingdom. And may in everything we do, may we show the love of the Father to all of those that we come into contact with. Lord Jesus, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.